This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening, and for our first story of the day, this is what we're talking about.
Dan juga mungkin dicadangkan, mulai bulan Disember 2018, semua restoran terbuka diisytiharkan larangan merokok, terpulang kepada perbincangan seterusnya dengan stakeholders.
So that was the first we heard of the national smoking ban in eateries way back in September in Dewan Rakyat. And of course, it came into effect on January 1st, and we were discussing it yesterday. So now for some quick updates.
So as of day two, Health Minister Dato' Sri Zulkifli Ahmad said that enforcement officers gave 1,453 people warning letters and 3,879 some friendly advice against lighting up, with 611 enforcement officers from the ministry involved in inspection of close to 3,000 eateries nationwide. As of noon yesterday, about 7,451 pamphlets on the ban had been distributed.
So while we're talking about enforcement on the matter, I suppose there are people who are actually going to the ground, and the health minister wants us to know about it. He went on to say that the response following the smoking ban is very encouraging, and I hope the public takes collective responsibility in ensuring the ban can be enforced effectively, even if there is no standing officer to constantly monitor. He went on to add that the ministry will continue its six-month educational enforcement period to ensure that the public is informed of the ban and the dangers of smoking.
So throughout this period, no punitive action will be taken against offenders and only verbal warnings will be issued. So in other words, no compounds, just warning letters. And according to officers involved in the operations, most of the offenders pled ignorance of the smoking ban regulations. According to officers, so after the grace period, offenders will be fined up to 10,000 ringgit or jailed up to 2 years. This ban could potentially expand to other spaces, as the health minister says here.
Hari demi hari kita akan kenal pasti lagi. Saya tadi bersempatan memastikan, memerhatikan ada lagi tempat-tempat awam, seumpama di laundrette, ya. Di laundrette juga pun adalah tempat di mana terkadang kali ada orang yang merokok di situ dan mendedahkan asap rokok secara passive smoking kepada anak-anak yang ada di situ. Itu yang tidak termasuk lagi di situ, mungkin kami akan dari masa ke semasa, Dr. Chong, selaku timbalan KPK, akan menambahnya dari masa ke semasa, ya. Jadi ini adalah apa yang telah lama kami rancang untuk jadikan Malaysia, ya, sebuah negara dan mempunyai warga yang sehat, bermula dengan larangan merokok di tempat awam.
In other news, the health ministry also had to dismiss claims of monetary reward being offered to individuals who lodged anonymous reports on smoking offences. And this comes after a photo of a notice promising said reward went viral on social media.
The ministry has published several hotlines for the public to report smoking offences, but no monetary reward of any kind was offered, adding that the health this is the health minister saying that he wants it to be done on a voluntary basis. And that if this is happening at the state level, he'd have to check, sounding shocked when he was told a court had issued the order.
So on that note about the court, the notice allegedly originated from the Pengarah Mahkamah Negeri Terengganu, and it had a WhatsApp number through which the public were told to lodge their reports. So if you do receive that message, it's probably best to ignore it. And if you do want to report something through, the following number will take you to the appropriate authorities. That's 03-8892-4530. We also saw this other news piece, I think, about a worker at a Mamak who got slapped by a customer.
Yeah. Yeah. After I think the worker had politely told this person to stop smoking. And I think they just paid and left after that with nothing else.
Yes. So I think that those are also probably things that you could report if you did see that happen. It's certainly something that I would report, because now they've lodged a police report, I think, but they're urging the person involved to come forward. And you know what? If I went around slapping people randomly, I'm not going to offer myself up to the police. So that's just something. Anyway, moving on to our next story. Yesterday, we addressed the fact that the transgender community in the country has been facing increased violence recently. Today, the Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy has called for transgender sensitisation programmes to be incorporated at major health facilities and to be taught in medical schools.
During one physical therapy appointment, I had one of the therapists misgendered me to an entire room of people, both other physical therapists and other clients. He never looked me in the eye again. He never talked about it. He never apologized. It was just this weight. And especially me as a trans woman, I get misgendered all the time. Like, it's something I deal with on a near daily basis. So to have that happen in a medical setting, something where I can opt out of, even though it might not be the healthiest thing, I will. I'd rather protect my own sense of mental health.
So Galen highlighted barriers that trans people face in accessing healthcare in Malaysia, such as discrimination, sexual harassment, as well as refused treatments.
Galen Project Officer Dorian Wild said transgender people and other marginalized communities should not have to fear accessing healthcare and should be able to feel confident and safe while doing so. Wild pointed out that if efforts to sensitize doctors to gender diverse people were only led by NGOs and a few doctors.
As such, he went on to say, these programs are severely limited and often only cover specific urban community clinics. The Ministry of Health should seriously consider adopting and upscaling these initiatives to major medical facilities in Malaysia.
Galen highlighted an article by American magazine Pacific Standard about how the lack of trans-specific healthcare, like hormone replacement therapy and surgeries in Malaysia, drove trans people to seek treatment in countries like Thailand, also relating cases of Malaysian doctors who do not know how to treat patients with complications from these surgeries or refuse to treat such emergencies, causing patients to make repeat journeys to Thailand, often while experiencing excruciating pain.
We have some audio here of Dr. Christy Overstreet, a clinical sexologist, highlighting why some doctors find it hard to ask the right questions and to provide care for the transgender community.
Now, the average medical student spends about 5 hours learning about the LGBT health-related needs while they're in medical school. Now, this is despite us knowing that there are unique health risks to this community. And there's an estimated 10 million American adults that identify as LGBT. Most doctors that work with transgender patients, they learn trial by fire. That means they figure it out as they go along, or the patient ends up spending their time trying to teach the doctor how to take care of them. Many doctors don't feel comfortable asking about gender identity. Some don't feel like it's relevant at all to their medical care, and others just don't want to say the wrong thing. Many doctors who say something inappropriate or they say something negative, they may not be coming from a malicious or mean place. They may have never been trained on how to care for these individuals. But this can't be accepted as a norm anymore either.
Galen also highlighted a 2018 study in KL that found doctors who hold stigmatized views of trans people express greater intention to discriminate against them, creating a distrust and fear of the healthcare system in Malaysia and forcing many members of the community to delay getting treatment or avoid seeking healthcare altogether.
Let us know your thoughts. We've been talking about the smoking ban, or rather the updates on it. Have you seen people coming around to your mamaks and coffee shops? Have you seen actually enforcement happening from the Health Ministry? We'd like to hear from you. WhatsApp us and let us know. 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Our next story is going to be about Netflix and Bandersnatch. So stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Calvin. Our next story is about choosing your own adventure, sorta.
Netflix is developing a slate of specials that will let viewers actually choose the next storyline in a TV episode or a movie. That's according to sources. Here with more is Bloomberg's LA Bureau Chief Chris Palmieri. I mean, Black Mirror is freaky enough anyway, let alone being able to dictate the ending.
I don't know, maybe it's too scary, you can choose a different ending. Yeah, this is just an experimentation here. Netflix has tested this with a children's show. They're first and foremost as much of a tech company as an entertainment company, and they've always been at the forefront of this. So we can't necessarily say this is the wave of the future, but it's an experiment a lot of people will be watching.
And the result of the experiment was Bandersnatch, the latest episode of Black Mirror, the TV series that appears to routinely predict and dramatize world news and policies. But instead of merely predicting the future, this article from Quartz argues that Bandersnatch could be creating it.
Released on Netflix on December 28th, this episode charters new territory. So as we just heard, instead of just passively watching a movie, the viewers players get to choose what the main character does next. Some choices are seemingly innocent, what music to play, what to eat for breakfast, but then it quickly moves on to questions about career decisions, mental health issues, and even whether to kill other characters.
All this data is collected by Netflix and stored in a secure database. Your choices are used to improve the gameplay, though seemingly innocent early decisions impact the narrative much later in the story. Without collecting this information, it can't send you down your personalized journey or your choose your own adventure kind of journey.
But the question here is, what happens to your decision data after the credits roll? Netflix, of course, we know, acquires a lot of data about its users. This includes information about your viewing habits, the programs you choose to watch, how long you watch them for. It uses this data to recommend new shows it thinks you'll enjoy, as well as to improve its customer service and for marketing purposes. Here's how the recommendations work.
Every TV show and movie recommendation you see on Netflix is a highly personalized suggestion just for you. The goal of our recommendation technology is to make it really easy for you to find something you will love to watch. Our recommendations work very well. About 70% of everything Netflix members watch is a personalized recommendation. Recommendations start immediately when you join Netflix. Initially, recommendations are personalized based on your answers to a simple taste survey. If you told us you love comedies and horror, we might recommend scary comedies. But this is only the starting point. Our recommendations get fine-tuned as you use Netflix. That's how we get to know you better. Our personalization technology is based on a set of techniques that are always learning more about the movies and TV shows you like to watch. In addition to analyzing what you watch, we also look at what others watch to come up with the best recommendations for you.
So that all sounds well and good, but what if instead of logging how many times you watched Love Actually this holiday season, it's remembering whether you opted to kill your father in cold blood or save him? And this all comes from Bandersnatch, of course. What could Netflix do with that highly sensitive emotional information?
So a Netflix spokesperson in an email said, "The privacy of Netflix members is a priority. Documenting choices improves the experience and interactive functionality of Bandersnatch. All interactions with the film and users of that information are in compliance with our privacy statement."
So when reading through Netflix's privacy statement and also the statement about its recommendation algorithm, it isn't quite clear whether the data of viewers' choices will be used outside of the actual game. Privacy policies like these are vague and undetailed because the algorithms change so regularly that it's impossible to include every single data point in the document.
So if you're still with us, you might be wondering, so what? Who cares? When you play Bandersnatch, is it really reflecting your true nature? Do your choices in the show really reveal that much about you? And it matters really for three reasons. Firstly, Netflix has a huge influence over how millions of people get cultural and political information, and users are far more likely to watch programs that have been recommended to them, and that in turn changes how they perceive the world. So your decisions in interactive films could have many unintended consequences. So if Netflix determined that those who did choose to kill a family member in Bandersnatch would be more likely to enjoy the film, say, Kill Bill, then this data could be used to serve you more violent films.
Netflix is planning more interactive content in 2019 and is already running interactive kids content for years. This will allow them to gather more instinctive behavioral data on a variety of subjects. What if it started serving you programs celebrating a particular political party because of the choices you made in an interactive White House thriller?
Secondly, it's not hard to imagine that companies that do collect information about you will share it with maybe political actors, and they might forage into this media form in the future. The data from personality quizzes have already caused huge ramifications for political elections, so what more interactive gameplay? Because it offers a new way of understanding users' personalities as well as what they might want to respond to.
Now, the third concern is the most black mirror of them all. It's not inconceivable to imagine that if the government got a hold of your data, it could think you're someone worthy of future surveillance. Studies from the Oxford Internet Institute show that there is little evidence to say that playing violent video games lead to violent real-life behavior. However, there are still politicians that peddle this narrative. Could Netflix data be used to identify future terrorists or restrict your access to airports?
Bandersnatch essentially dissects the idea of free will, but another parallel theme is the erosion of your own real-life privacy sneaking in within, I suppose, the banner of entertainment. I mean, instead of choosing your own adventure, what if Netflix is choosing for you? And I think there was a lot of talk, there was a lot of excitement surrounding Bandersnatch. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people spent their New Year's Eve watching this instead of fireworks. And I found this article really interesting because it is very easy to get caught up in the, yay, I'm choosing my own adventure, without considering necessarily what that information says about you. I will say that I don't think it says much. I think whether you choose a storyline or not doesn't actually reveal much about your personality. But it is interesting in that it might feed back to Netflix what you like or what they think you like.
So I think for me, because I'm someone who plays quite a lot of video games, and that includes interactive graphic adventure video games. And by that, they maybe adapt novels. If some of you are familiar with games, that there's this company called Telltale Games that produces video games for stories such as comic book stories such as The Wolf Among Us, Borderlands, and I think even Game of Thrones, where you can make choices for the characters, or you make choices on what to do. So if you've done that before, at the end of the game, they usually show how much, like what other choices other players have made. So maybe 70% of players has chosen to kill this character, 30% have chosen to spare this character. So for me, it's not too far of a jump to say that this really doesn't have much impact. But of course, this is just a small firm, relatively small firm that I think more or less recently shut down. Netflix is a different animal altogether. So I can imagine the concerns here are actually quite legitimate when you put it on a level such as Netflix, who, if they run political ads, say in the US, saying, having ads that say, this is your choice, if you chose Democrats, this is the likely future you get. But if you chose Republicans, this is the other future you get.
It's for me to do with scale. It's one thing to say, like you said, with smaller companies, and it's entirely different. In this case, it's one of those things. And also, when you sign up for privacy policies, what are you really signing up to? Which is a point that the article made as well, that you might just be like, yeah, you know, it's fine, it's fine. And it all comes down to, again, that trading off of our privacy, or that we might not even be recognizing for whatever reason, for convenience, for entertainment. There are all these different things that factor in. Andrew Fernandez says, guys, you don't need to spoil key plot points for Bandersnatch. And I do apologize. I did consider it when we were looking at the story, but I made an assumption that because you can kind of pick your story, that spoilers were kind of hard to come by. I might be wrong in that. And he goes on to say, what about those who play it over to get different endings? And I suppose that's one way to go about it if you have the time and the inclination to do that. I don't know what Netflix would be collecting in that situation.
Well, I'm sure it's something that they pay attention to, and I'm sure that's what they expect people to pay attention to, especially fans of Black Mirror, who might want to see all the secrets or all the little trivia that you might find within just watching that, watching those different endings, right?
Let us know what you think. Did you watch Bandersnatch? Are you now slightly worried about what your choices while watching the episode said about you? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.